You're reading book 7 of the ELR series, Harry Johnson and the Deathly Furt. Darn it.
Wow, take your pick. They're all so different.
It is time for the procedure.
This is Extra Life Radio.
Autobots, transform and roll out.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to another auspicious occasion, which we like to call Extra Life Radio number 145. The guys were talking earlier about why do I number these things? Well, it's just so you guys can keep track. Because one day, we'll be done and you'll want to mark that day and say, wow, show 200 and they're done. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is July 24th, 2007. It is the date that Utah became an official state of the United States of America. So they celebrate it like the 4th of July. Where I live, it's too dry to have fireworks, so nobody's doing jack crap. I'm recording a radio show instead. Our show is sponsored in part by YouBuyNow.com. YouBuyNow.com has all that you'll ever need for your action figure needs, your replicas, your cool lightsaber things. I guess those are replicas too. Go over there and check them out. YouBuyNow.com. Use Extra Life as your code. Save 10%. Do it now. Those guys are awesome. Also sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Use Life1 as your code. Get your next.com domain for $6.95. And while you're at it, get some hosting while you're over there. Get the new SSH. I haven't had time to start it yet, but we got a whole new campaign to run for them for their SSH. SSL certificates and secure servers. And so we'll probably be doing that next week. But there's always great savings to be had over at GoDaddy.com. Get your piece of the internet today and check them out. Thanks to them for sponsoring the show. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Joining me tonight from CommissionComic.com is Obsidian. Obsidian, welcome to the program.
And now 23% more balls.
Oh, wow. 23%? You have like a quarter of a testicle? Is that what that is?
Well, no. You know, it just depends on how much I shave today.
Oh, lovely. That's good to know. And joining us from MissionDeep.com and ComicsCoastToCoast.com.
And the gaming podcast.
Oh, yeah. You always forget the name. That's what's funny. Brian's part of this little short five-story gaming podcast I do at the end of the week, and he can't remember the name of it, and that's awesome.
That I is keep called, wanting to say one up, but I know it's not it. Final score.
Even I remember it.
Yeah, and he doesn't even listen to it. The final score, you can find that over at myextralife.com as well. And Brian started a little sci-fi and gadgets thing that we do together right after we record that every week. So what the hell is that one called? I forgot.
It's called that. Just that. Sci-fi and gadgets.
Yeah. So check it out. They can see more about that at missiondeep.com, yes?
Correct.
All right. So that's good. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good myself. How about yourself?
Good. How about a damn webcomic? And we can see one of those coming out of there.
Soon.
He has that tone of like, damn it, you didn't have to bring that up again.
No, that's fine.
I know you've got one
I've,
coming.
I've actually got it worked out on my Wacom tablet.
Yeah, you're
I'm
doing,
actually,
he's
I'm
got
actually
some,
pretty happy.
Some cool
I'm
new
actually
techniques,
pretty happy with
right?
things are coming out.
Yeah, you got some cool new techniques. You got your whole rotation going. You got your thing and your whatnot and your whoozits. And that's all good. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. We have a fairly growing, sizable amount of people. I can't see it. Here it is. 90 so far. That usually will escalate to the 130 to 160 range. And we're glad to have all of you here. They always like it when I name a few names. Let's just do one or two. These are the ones that jump out at me as cool.
250.
Bad Fish. Bio Monkey. Babacus is here. I like him.
Read the funniest name.
All right.
Old Man Briggs.
Darn it. HBO1. Apparently, we're getting one of the channels in here, representative from HBO.
That's not funny.
No, it's not. Lewis Films. That's not funny. Nobody's really
funny.
I said
read the funny ones.
I'm looking. I'm have to
Robbie
dig through.
Robbie Destroyer. How's that?
Nobody's funny. There is a Ustream bot in here, which makes me nervous. Anyway.
Really?
For those who would like to join the chat room, make sure you check back at myextralife.com every week around 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and there will be a link in the top blog post. It'll take you right there. For those who keep asking and I keep forgetting to say on the show, there you go. All right. Let's do this thing. My gosh, I'm tired. I'm totally pooped today. I don't know what my deal is. So hopefully this will act as a natural stimulant and just being around you two will help me. Don't you
Absolutely.
Think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're not around us. We're very far away.
Well, you're close enough. I feel close to you now. It's amazing.
Oh, so very close.
So very close. We have an interesting topic today. Let's roll out this before we do it. And this will give everyone a hint about what we're going to talk about. Listen to this little piece right here.
You know, you just drug the whole podcast down to it.
All right, so there's the Harry Potter theme. I picked the one from the first movie, which was kind of like the little kid theme. You know, it didn't really have a lot of punch yet. Now they're all kind of angsty and teenagery.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, it's a little louder now, but anyway, it's all I could find at a moment's notice. We're not talking about Harry Potter specifically. We will be talking about it, but
there will be no spoilers in this episode.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Actually, now that I remember it, one of the Extra Life, this was before I even started drawing webcomics and how Extra Life inspired me to draw webcomics. One of the jokes from Extra Life that has made me laugh the most is the Harry Potter joke.
Oh, the one with the guy that was just a hairy dude putting a plant in a pot? Is that the one?
Yeah. I love that joke.
That was the good one.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Goblin Tundra.
Yeah.
You know, that was back when Extra Life was good.
Yeah, the irony of that is I've had equal numbers of people say that's one of their favorites, and I've had an equal number of people on the other side say it's one of the worst things I've ever done. So it just teaches me yet again that I should just not care and just keep drawing. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Yeah, screw them. Screw everybody.
It's like this. When you're in the business of providing content constantly, you're going to embarrass yourself many, many times. So face it. Deal with it.
You wouldn't believe the gun control supporter emails I got for the comic I did like two strips ago. Holy crap, dude. And I meant nothing by it. It was just kind of me throwing stereotypes out there. Didn't really reflect my own feelings one way or the other on gun control. But geez, they came out of the woodwork on both sides of the issue, ripping me up and down as if I was like the spokesperson for the NRA or something. It's so funny how that works, but anyway. Yeah. I guess
do you own a gun?
No, I do not
Scott?
Own a gun. I do not. I
do
own,
you
a,
own a
I own a video game machine that plays gun type games.
Oh, so that means you're probably a serial killer.
It's called
in training.
Called
the
Wii. Training, yeah, in training. Because Wii Play, of course, really.
Oh,
training.
You know what? I finally saw a Wii today at the market. You know,
nice. At the market.
It's a market where they sound like fish and pig heads and stuff, and there's a Wii next to them? How's that work?
Well, no. I mean, a market. Like you got Walmart.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't call that the market, but go ahead. I know what you mean.
Call it the store? Well, to me, store sounds small.
Oh. All
right. Market, on the other hand, okay, the store market, store, supermarket. Supermarket sounds
there you
better.
Go. Supermarket's good. That's Super's we used to, good. We used to say that when we think of grocery stores, and when we call it the market, we used to think of outdoor types of open markets where people go.
Yeah, and ironically, Nintendo used to put the word super in front of everything to make it sound bigger than it was. So back to the Wii story. See, that's a whole, that's
so,
the way the conversation
yeah,
went.
So anyway, I was at the store, supermarket, market, or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically our equivalent of, okay.
Yeah.
And I saw the Wii, and it's costing 990,000 pesos, which is easily... that would be more than twice of what it costs.
What's the deal? What's the problem? Is it because it's hard to get? Are they jacking you guys around down there?
Well, I mean, no, I mean, well, it is imported. I mean, you can start by that. It is imported.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing we've discussed over and over and over again. I mean, those things just reach here incredibly expensive. I mean, they are at these insane prices. Now, the funny thing is, the games, those do cost what they should.
See, I don't understand.
I mean, the console itself costs more than double what it should cost.
Yeah.
But the games, which the games are like $50, right?
Yeah. 39. So you are paying a little more.
No, no. So okay, yeah, we get the games as if they cost $50.
Okay.
But the console itself, it's more than double what it should cost.
Yeah, that's crazy. Obviously, somebody's buying them. Is it just the richer people in Colombia, the two or three guys that have some money, or what?
Shakira.
Shakira's buying them.
Except for the little detail that Shakira doesn't live in Colombia.
The head of the cartel, he can afford one.
Is that where she came from, or is it the other one? I'm thinking.
Yeah, Shakira's from Colombia.
Juan Valdez can buy one. He can afford it.
Actually, Juan Valdez is a guy. It's an actor. I mean, we have an official Juan Valdez.
Really?
I mean, Juan Valdez is a conceptual character, right?
Right. He's kind
like
of
like a, oh, like a logo.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For all the commercials and events and everything, there is a guy that is officially Juan Valdez.
Really?
Now, Juan Valdez, Colombian Mickey Mouse.
Now, the guy that had always been Juan Valdez, he was, you know, he eventually got too old to be Juan Valdez and died. And, you know, people do that.
No,
people,
you know what, dude? That's just like our Maytag men. We swap those guys out every time one of them kicks the bucket.
It's like Ronald McDonald.
Dude, I thought that guy was the same. He was the same zombie mime that they've had the whole time.
No, Fred Willard.
But now they have a new Juan Valdez, and, you know, he's...
Fred Willard. Wait, back up a second. Did you just say Fred?
He was original.
He was? Fred Willard? You're joking me, dude. Oh, you just about made my whole week better. Anyway, okay. That's pretty funny, though. All right, well, good for you, and hopefully Juan Valdez doesn't end up like the Marlboro Man and die of caffeine poisoning or whatever. I don't know.
I think he died of old age.
Well, good. Good for him. That's how you should die. All right, well, let's move on. This we're all over the map already. I don't know how we got to. How did we get to Juan Valdez? And I don't get how we got there. But anyway.
Because you said that Juan Valdez was the only person that was going to buy a Nintendo Wii in Colombia.
That's awesome. That should be a T-shirt. Juan Valdez, is the only guy that can afford a Wii in Colombia. That's kind of long though.
Yeah, that would be a pretty lame T-shirt.
Yeah, the threadless people would probably not do that one. All right, let's move on to the topic at hand. Let's talk about Harry Potter first, because it's interesting. Since this just happened, we're talking about novels in general and books in general, and what some of you have recommended, what we're reading and what we think is worth reading. We never really talk about books. We get a lot of people saying you should talk more about books on your show, and here we are doing a whole show dedicated to just that. Before we talk about the Harry Potter phenomenon, which is really all we want to focus on. This will be, I'm just telling everybody now, a spoiler-free episode. I'm only halfway through the book anyway. We are not going to be giving away the secrets of Book 7. This is just...
You know, we should actually just not give secrets of any of the books, because...
We don't have to do
that
either.
A lot of people haven't read, like, Book 6 either, and a lot of stuff happens there, too.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about any of the books' storyline.
Let's give a little background real quick here. Scott, how many of the books have you read?
All of them. The seventh I've read, and I've read them all multiple times. I'm absolutely enamored with those books.
How far are you on the
seventh? I'm halfway.
Halfway through Obsidian. Yeah. How many have you read?
I've read all of them except seven. I'm going to be buying seven when I go to the U.S. in September.
Okay.
Very nice. Ask me how many I've read.
Zero.
None.
None.
I knew you were going to say that.
But isn't it because you're scared of Harry Potter?
I am a little scared of Harry Potter.
Yeah. Are you going to...
Are the witches going to get you, Brian?
Are you going to read it, though? Is that what I'm...
I'm going to read all seven.
Oh, sweet, dude. In a big marathon, or how are you going to do it?
In 2 days.
Whoa.
In 2 days. Yeah, and I'm not going to eat while I do it either.
Yeah, I have a recommendation for people that want to catch up but don't necessarily have a lot of time to sit and read. But have
you gonna recommend those lame audiobooks again,
dude? Those are about as far from lame as you get. The Harry Potter books are so well done on audio; they're amazing. The guy who reads them is Jim Dale, and
you've said this before.
I know, he's so good though, dude. He is so like you just have to hear it.
Go marry him then.
I want to hear one read by Scott Fletcher.
Oh yeah, dude. Scott Fletcher reads. He'd have to do something like I don't know. What would be good for him? Like one of the... I don't know what he could read.
Something Stephen Kingish.
Stephen Kingish, maybe, yeah. Something like Needful Things, which I can't find on audio anywhere. Maybe he could do Needful Things and send it to me.
I would love to have more audiobooks but they're so dang expensive.
Oh yeah.
Really? How much does an audiobook cost?
In the 40s.
Yeah.
In the $40 range.
You can get, it depends on how old it is. You can get like the early Harry Potter stuff.
If you want to get it read by somebody that you can understand.
No. I'm saying you can get the Harry Potter stuff online, or you can get it on iTunes, for example, for like $35. Now, I don't know about the new one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah.
It's not too
And how much did the book cost?
It's like 14 to 17 in that range. So it's less.
For hardback. And
you know,
hate that about what do you call it? You call it a hardcover, don't you?
I definitely have to buy it hardcover. I mean, I've got all the books in hardcover. I'm not going to have like the last one in some lame paperback thing.
Well, yeah. It's like this. Okay, I agree. Those are collectible, but for reading purposes, I can't stand hardcover books.
Really?
They drive me nuts.
Well, you are a very picky man.
Oh, wait. Yes, Brian was telling us before the show. Brian, you can explain this a little bit. We're really going to. This will be interesting. But Brian has allergies. So one of the worst things about hardcover books, or any books for that matter, is the paper they use in there, especially the really recycled stuff. There's all these little particles going up your face all the time. You have a problem with that, right?
Dude, yeah. I'll open a book sometimes and I'm like, my nose will instantly just start burning.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, I can't read this book. This isn't enjoyable. Yeah. So I have to read a lot of my books using my computer.
Well, there you go.
Which is, of course, some purists don't consider that reading, I suppose.
Well, either way,
Actually, I would love to read more books on my computer. But first of all, you know, I'm not rich, you know, stinking rich like you guys. I can't buy a MacBook. You know, I love
the fact that I can read in the dark.
Yeah,
I don't need a light.
You know, I can't have several computers. I just have this one, which is running on coal, basically.
That's good.
And I have, I had an experience with an ebook once. I got sick and tired of everybody talking about Neuromancer, which I had not been able to read, because, of course, you can't get those books over here where I live. And if you do find them, it's going to be in Spanish. Yeah. And I'm not going to read Neuromancer in Spanish. So I downloaded the ebook. This special thing Microsoft has, you know, .lit files.
Yeah, it's their .literature files for their e-reader, yeah.
For it. Yeah. And you can actually make it read the book out loud to you.
Oh, nice.
It's like a speaking spell.
Yeah, so it reads it in that like neutral sort of electronic way that it just, you know, it just reads the word and that's it. So it sounded like they make Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, yeah. It's like speak and spell.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having a Stephen Hawking read book?
I think you can get his book read like him. I actually believe that's true. But I couldn't stand it because the parts where you got to get all emotional, like then Bill yelled, "Get away from my car." I mean, that's just, there's no, you got to have some inflection there. You got to have something interesting to listen to. And that,
I didn't know Johnny Number 5 was reading your books. That's very interesting.
Johnny Number 5 was expressive. I mean, he was alive.
Yeah. He's up for auction. We could get him, and I bet he could read the crap out of some books for me.
Hells yeah.
All right. Rich.
But, we are completely off the beaten path, by the way. I don't know where the hell
we're
going.
But we're having a good time.
Yeah, we are. That's all right. That matters. All right, I'm going to play a little clip of me in line waiting for a midnight launch of Harry Potter 7 because I recorded it, and by damn, I'm going
to
play it.
Early. Okay, I'm standing here in line. You're here to get the new Harry Potter book?
Yes, I am.
Sweet. And you decided to go pantsless. Why?
Well, you know, it's pretty warm out here, and I thought, why wear my drawers when I can just hang?
I can see your doodle.
Woo! Yeah. Don't stand so close. I felt that waft, and I'm,
Have you seen any major nerds here yet?
Well, no, but you need to understand that, you know, the word nerd is relative. Mm. Some dudes came by making fun of Harry Potter. And I'm telling you, you know, the short and curly's got shorter and curlier, and I'm just, you want a piece of this, Harry Potter?
Dude, that would be great if somebody tried to attack this place and all of these look like formidable guys, many of them, would get up and throw down.
You know, I've always been kind of defensive when it comes to, you know, people attacking whatever I like. I should just let it go, but, you know, it's hard.
I mean, I feel better in this line knowing that you're here to protect us all.
Hey, it's all about Book 7.
All right, well, thanks, and enjoy the final hour of this line.
He saved a spot for us?
Yeah, but we may not use it. We'll see. Are you excited about the book?
Yes!
Why?
Because it's awesome.
Why are you so excited?
Because I love Harry Potter.
But you haven't even, as I understand it, what book have you read so far?
None.
You started book one?
Yeah, but I'm almost to chapter five.
But you're still excited to get book seven?
Yes!
And what are you going to do? Are you going to catch up before you read it?
I want to read with you, though.
All right, we'll see. This is my daughter, Carter, by the way. And we're in line. It's about 11 o'clock,
How far
1 hour.
Is he up there?
What?
How far is he up there?
Oh, he's up by that first post. So we'll report as we get closer to the
Uncle Who.
Nerdtacular.
What? Uncle Who.
Uncle Shmoo.
Uncle Who.
Bye.
Okay. This is tormenting my daughter. And I didn't record anything after that because it was just late and I didn't think of it. But anyway, it was fun. We had a ton of people there. I don't know, 200 people in that line. Got the book, got home, read the poo out of it as fast as I could. I'm still only halfway through. Got too much stuff going on and a lot of people have finished it. But that is not the point. We hope everybody had a good time getting their book and that they're reading it and enjoying it.
Yeah.
Although there's a lot of nerds out there who like Harry Potter, which brings us to the question. This is what's interesting. Okay, first of all, record sales, all right? Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows broke sales records in the U.S. and Britain during its first 24 hours on the market. This is according to the publisher Scholastic Corporation. The seventh and final book of the series, written by J.K. Rowling, sold 8.3 million copies in the U.S. on Saturday, which was the 21st. And 2.65 million copies in Britain. That's a lot of damn books in a 24-hour period of time.
That's a ton.
Yeah, and the question is this. I do not believe there has ever been before, during, or perhaps since this whole Harry Potter 7 series book thing where a book has generated this much interest. I don't mean just the book. I mean every time one of these things
comes up. Yeah, the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. But see, no one lines up for the Bible. Nobody goes out and waits till midnight to get
a
new
printing. They go every Sunday.
Eh, you know what I mean. So it's like this. Brand new material coming out. Has there ever been anything like this before? Or am I just not remembering it? Because I don't think there ever has.
I can't remember a time when people have stood in line to get a new book. I mean, that's all part of the whole phenomenon of this with the Harry Potter books. I can't imagine any book before now people stand in line for.
Because isn't it kind of the domain of Star Wars nerds and video game freaks to do this sort of thing? Yeah. It's not really the normal, you know, the normal public doesn't normally do this. And nobody says, oh, the new John Grisham novel that I'm sure has something to do with the jury is out today. I guess I better go wait in the line because we're going to be hard to get the copy. That just doesn't happen.
But the funny thing is the fans have pooled at these certain places because they knew there would be other people like them to purchase a book because, honestly, the book is freaking everywhere. You can go to a grocery store, pick it up. You can go to Best Buy, pick it up. I mean, you can go anywhere and pick it up. I don't think you'd have to stand in line if you went to a bunch of places.
Yeah.
But the whole community being able to get together.
Well, I'm dying to hear this theory because when we first started the show prep earlier, Obsidian, our very own Obsidian, had a notion as to why he has a theory, let's say, as to why this is as big as it is and what it all means, and I'm dying to hear that. What is it, O?
Well, basically, it's like this. Okay, Harry Potter is such a phenomenon for several reasons, and okay, one of them is basically that you couldn't have gathered all the aspects that Harry Potter gathers in it. I mean, on purpose. Basically, it just has so much going on for it. And the way it has developed has meant that Harry Potter at first appealed to a very young audience. And that young audience has managed to partially grow along with the book.
Yeah.
And you know, through it, the book appeals to all sorts of ages.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically got everybody from little kids to, old people all the way through.
Yeah.
Everybody can read Harry Potter and enjoy it. It's a book that can be enjoyed by everybody. Even the latest books that are a little bit stronger and people die, they're still kids safe. I mean, unless you got some sort of problem letting your kids find out that people die.
Don't they have
the Harry Potter books are kids safe?
Yeah. Generally, that's true. What'd you say, Brian?
Don't they have a whole... junior edition of that thing?
I thought it was the same, though. I think it's just different covers. Because in Europe, they do two different versions, and our European listeners will have to correct us if we're wrong. But
well, I flipped through 7.
Oh, no, no. Actually, I saw that the English version of the book has a different cover.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's now, true. That's true.
I flipped through 7, and as soon as I opened the book up, the word for a female dog was in there.
Well, no.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I honestly don't think there's any difference, though, in content. My understanding is, in the U.S., they don't do this. There's one book, you get one book, and that's it. In Europe, they have two versions, one with an adult cover, and that cover is like a photograph
Harry
of
Potter
a,
naked.
No, not that. Like that kind of an adult. But it has, like, you know, some kind of trinket or something from the story, kind of all cool on the front, and it looks more like a traditional novel you might buy from, I don't know, James Rollins or somebody like that. It looks like a normal book, whereas the kids' version of it is very colorful and very illustrated and all of that, but that the word-for-word content is identical. That's what I have heard from, actually, a British listener told me this. So
Yeah, and you can safely bet that some people are going to be buying both versions just to have them.
Yeah, probably. But do you think they do that because they don't want to be embarrassed to have a kid's book? They want to go on the bus or the train station with, like, you know, a fancy looking.
Oh, that makes
book.
Sense. That makes sense. That's actually a very smart move.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, so you got that. I mean, you got a book that the way the book has grown and the way the book has come along its 7, you know, chapters, 7 episodes or whatever, you basically built something that can appeal to any age. And that's not easy. And, you know, one of my theories is that wasn't even on purpose. It has been, I mean, J.K. Rowling, or however you pronounce it, has said repeatedly that she has basically been planning all the books from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Whatever, Lucas.
Yeah, way to go. Whatever you say, George, you piece of crap.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, this whole, the way it all worked out, you just can't plan that. I mean, it just worked out that way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
To me, the most important part of it all is that you cannot have, you could not have had this sort of phenomenon in the past. I mean, this couldn't have happened in the past. This sort of thing can only happen now. Why? Because the whole situation, the whole world is set up for this sort of thing to work. Yeah. Just a little bit further back, I mean, in the 90s, this couldn't have happened either. You got the whole way the thing gets promoted, the whole way news travels so fast, the, you know, as a certain president would say, the internets and all that kind of stuff. The way the world works today,
yeah,
makes it possible for this sort of thing to happen.
Yeah.
While if you published the same book in the past, although it might have been a success, you couldn't have it work this way.
Yeah. Well, I actually tend to agree, but I also think there's two really crucial things happening here that seal the deal. I agree with all of what you've said. I think it's absolutely true, but I think it supports two things that are really, really important. And those two things are, we are getting a really, really well-crafted, well-told story. And then secondly, with characters that we are compelled to care about. And
it's totally original.
Yeah.
Like nothing you've seen before.
Yeah. It's original in the sense, I mean, obviously it takes from ideas and things from, magic or whatever, but you're right. The story itself and the characters themselves and how this is all playing out is very original. And I couldn't agree more with O that you've got characters and situations that appeal to such a broad audience that I am literally talking to a 10-year-old about the book yesterday. And then about 2 hours later, I'm at lunch with somebody in their 50s talking about the book.
That's just the fact that the book is incredibly good. But you see, the sad truth is that being incredibly good is not good enough. I mean, things just have to work out just so.
But aren't there lots of books that are incredibly good that people would classify that? What's different here? What is different about these books that makes them so huge?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, the situation, the present situation, you know, the way the world works today, this book that is incredibly good just came to the world at the exact right time.
So there are no other books right now or that were out in the 90s through the 2000s that you think could do this? Well, obviously nothing else has, but Is the difference between everybody else who's publishing during that time for whatever?
No. The difference is not the time they've published. That's exactly what makes Harry Potter so special in a way that goes a little bit beyond the fact that we all love it.
Yeah.
What makes Harry Potter so special is that everything, every single factor that is involved, that could be involved here, just worked out perfectly. I mean, you got a book that appeals to all ages, that is actually very well. It's a very good book. It's a very well told story, and you got it at exactly the right time. I mean, everything has worked out just perfectly. This sort of perfect coordination. I mean, this is. We're just talking about one very, very, very lucky writer.
I can see where you're coming from on that. That's a pretty good point. Well, we're going to take a quick break. when we come back to the show, I just cut him off. When we come back, we're at the 30-minute mark. We will talk more about, no more about Harry Potter so much, but we're going to talk about the books you recommend. Most of you recommended Harry Potter, which is interesting, but you had a lot of other ideas as well. We have some ideas as well, and we have some audio to play as well as some calls to take from you when our program continues.
Hello, Extra Life Radio listeners. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with another review for you. Yes, about a little more than a week ago, I guess maybe almost 2 weeks now, I saw the new Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And this will be your spoiler-free review. I'm a big fan of the Harry Potter books. I've seen all the films, read all the books up until the current one. I'll be working on that one very soon. And the movies, I think, have been pretty good in general. And this is pretty much follows that same trend. Of course, they have to cut quite a bit out of the book in order to fit into a movie form. But I think the important points are there. And I really felt in The Order of the Phoenix that the cast really came together. I think Daniel Radcliffe as Harry did a great job, a real strong performance by him, especially in this film, along with the other principals. I really enjoyed the other secondary characters that were introduced in this movie as well. So if you're a Harry Potter fan, I urge you to go out and see Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, now playing in your local theaters. This is Rico, signing off for this week.
Fascinating.
Extra Life Radio.
Okay, hey everybody, we're back. Welcome back to the show. Let's move on. We got to talk more about these here books. Can I tell you some recommendations we got from a few people first? Is that all right with you guys?
Do it.
All right.
Go ahead.
Linkage said, he was actually the first to post in the blog post asking for these recommendations, said, the Warcraft novels. I've not read any of them. I'm wary of video game novels. Okay, let me just say that right now. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm sort of afraid of them. I just can't imagine. I mean, I know we're going to get flamed for this.
Sure.
But I just can't imagine how they could be good.
Yeah, I've never read one, so I can't even actually judge it and say, oh yeah, they're terrible.
Me neither.
Just wary of them, that's all. I have a feeling that, I don't know, just have a feeling they'll be a little more empty than I might expect. And maybe they won't be. Maybe, you know, Blizzard has a history of only licensing to quality stuff. Maybe they only use good writers who've got good ideas. And certainly there's enough lore there to do some cool stuff. I'm just nervous about it. Even the Forgotten Realms books make me nervous.
Somebody once recommended to me the Halo novels.
Yeah, Seamus does, and later in the show.
Yeah, they've said they're really good, actually. But and actually, I'm intrigued. I mean, the Halo universe is very interesting. I would definitely like to know more about it.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't fit in my head that these novels can be any good.
Yeah, they're video games. Brian, you read a video game novel ever? Is that anything you've ever gotten into? No. Same reason,
Never.
Right? You don't think this is... It just doesn't seem right, does it?
The stories are just too shallow. They're not supposed to be book form stories. They're supposed to be simple stories.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Like you said, we'll get flamed, but that's okay. We got to say what
I mean.
We
think. I love it. I love it when you get an expanded universe, like in almost every game, like in Halo. Or we can even like Star Trek and Star Wars and stuff like that. You got expanded universe, but I wouldn't read a Star Wars novel, and I wouldn't read a Star Trek novel either.
I knew you wouldn't read a Star Trek one. I've actually read both. I've read some Timothy Zahn books, the Star Wars books. What's the one series? The Thrawn. It's been a long time. Anyway, that was really actually quite good. So I'm not so much, I don't have so much a problem with movie stuff, but I have to admit it's the same thing basically, and I don't know why I have less of a problem with the movie ones, but I do.
You know what I would never read?
What?
Fan fiction. I would never read fan
fiction. Oh yeah, I hate that.
You don't like fan fiction either, huh? I've always kind of been a little testy about it. It's kind of like, eh. You know,
I think it's a good. Yeah. I think it's good for people to do and play with, but I don't care about.
Yeah, I don't read it. I know that there's a lot of Harry Potter fan fiction out there. Most of it very pornographic. So enjoy that. don't ask me why I know that. I've just heard that. Christopher says, Christopher says two authors that stand out in his mind as essential reading for sci-fi fans. Robert A. Heinlein and Frank Herbert. Herbert I'd heard of. Heinlein, he'd recommend The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. He says it's an incredible tale of lunar revolution. And Starship Troopers is a great story about the right to rule and the book that inspired one of the worst movies of our time. I've not read the book, seen the movie, have no idea how to compare them.
Which one?
Starship Troopers.
I've actually heard a lot of good stuff about
that. I have too. I hear the book's amazing. Movie, not so much. I mean, the movie's fun in its own dumb way, but it's not probably very true to the vision of the book. Jonas wrote in and said, The Time Traveler's Wife by Audrey Niffinger. I use this guy's recommendations because he's got some stuff in here that's unusual, things I really had definitely never heard of. He bought it on a whim because Amazon recommended it, really liked it. It's about time travel, even though he knows I hate it, he still recommends it. Wolverine Weapon X by Mark Caracini. That sounds interesting.
And it's not a comic?
No, it's a book.
That's another thing I raise an eyebrow at.
Well, you see that as expanded universe and probably don't trust it.
You do?
No, not necessarily. I've never read one, so I couldn't say, but I would be wary. By his recommendation, though, I don't know, maybe I'll check it out. We'll have to see. The Gunseller by Hugh Laurie. Let's see. It's a spy novel. Sounds interesting. The Artemis Fowl series. I have heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard that's great. The Discworld novels. Goes on to say a couple others. Anyway, that's from Jonas. Thanks, Jonas. Adrian recommended anything from Orson Scott Card. That sounds good to me. The Asimov books, mainly the Foundation series, comes from John. Matt recommends Coyote Trilogy by Alan Steele. Never heard of it?
Yeah, never heard of that either.
Yeah. Coyote Trilogy. Mm-mm. Interesting.
A coyote!
Oh, I guess it's coyote, I guess. The peyote? Just kidding. Everybody recommended the Narnia books. I swear, every damn email I got had Narnia in it.
Yeah, but Narnia is awesome. Well, Have you read it?
Oh, yeah. I loved it as a kid. I'd love it again if I'd read it. You know, I don't know, I should read it. Brian, you need to catch up on your Harry Potter before you read it.
I do, man. I gotta catch up on a lot of stuff.
You haven't read Narnia either?
No, he hasn't read those either. Here's the thing, though. The problem with Harry Potter is they actually make pretty good movies.
Yeah.
And the movies
are true.
They're good enough to actually kind of get the feel and gist of it without having to read them so much. And unlike most books to movies, they actually do a really good job. They're very cinematic anyway. And so that can be kind of a problem because it'll make you lazy about wanting to read them. But let me tell you this, dude, you owe it to yourself. You think the movies are good, the books are insane. So good.
Well, you see, the thing with the Harry Potter movies is, in my opinion, they must be getting harder and harder to make. Because in the first books, I was actually talking about this, analyzing it a little bit when I got out of the last Harry Potter movie. And in the first Harry Potter books, most of those books, up until Goblet of Fire, they all revolve around one event. You know, like in Goblet of Fire, they revolve around that tournament. Yeah, they always revolve around one thing that they can sort of anchor the movie to. But ever since Order of the Phoenix, the books are not in a bad way, but they are scattered, as in there's a whole bunch of stuff happening in the book, and you can't really sort of point out, especially like in the last book, in the sixth one, which is the one I've read last, you can't really point out like the main event in the book.
Yeah.
Like you would anchor the movie to that. It really, in the sixth book, everything is important.
Everything is super important, and there's huge moments. It's not that there aren't huge moments. It's just that none of those moments really... I mean, you could say, I'll say this word because it's not a spoiler, but you could say the Horcruxes are kind of the nucleus of that book. And yeah, even but, 7 to some degree, but it's not the same as the Triwizard Tournament or the Prisoner of Azkaban. I mean, those things were...
But you can, I mean, you can anchor a movie to that, but you can't really, do that with a 6. So I definitely want to see how they pull off that to make it into a movie. And you got to admire the work of screenwriters. Is that guy with that job?
Yeah. That's
you got to admire their work because, damn it, that movie is getting harder and harder to make each and every time.
I agree.
They pull it off
well. Especially the kid getting older and older.
Yeah.
Freaking jerks. Yeah.
You know he's tiny. You know, he's tiny. He's a runt. And this comes from me. I'm not very big. But in the last movie, I had a good laugh all through the movie because Harry Potter is shorter than every single person in that school. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely
everybody's
shorter.
Everybody's taller than he is.
Yeah, and I don't love how Neville's this big, skinny, tall guy now. It kind of bugs me a little bit. But. Anyway, he was fat when they started, I guess. Let's see. Let me rip through a couple more of these. Dalton said, any Neil T. Stevenson novel, especially Snow Crash. I've been hearing about Snow Crash forever, and I really finally maybe just ought to just get the thing and read it.
Yeah.
That comes highly recommended by many people. Old Man Franks, darn it, sent Ender's Game, Hitchhiker's Guide, Lord of the Rings, a lot of the Star Wars novels. Pretty standard choices there. Chwith said Ender's Game, Hitchhiker's Guide as well, Lord of the Rings. Piernak, Wheel of Time, he was raving about that.
I've heard a lot of people talk about that, but I've never read it.
Well, you know, do you remember the Unreal Tournament engine-powered game they had out some years ago, like 99 or 2000 or something?
Yeah,
it was the Wheel of Time game. That was a pretty good game, I thought. David Eddings, all of them, he says. That comes from Piernak as well. Life's a Glitch says anything by Conan Doyle. He says the Sherlock Holmes books are way better than he's ever portrayed on screen, and that everybody should read those. Let's see. Everyone said Doom. Scott Fletcher said A Wrinkle in Time. Sebastian.
Oh, A Wrinkle in Time is pretty cool.
Yeah, Sebastian, of course, recommended one of my favorite series of all time, which is the Dark Tower series. And basically, after Harry Potter, it's my favorite thing I've ever read.
You know, I've never, not even once in my life, have I read Stephen King. And I was wondering if that would be a good book to
read. Oh, yeah, dude. Start with The Gunslinger and see how you feel. But I love that series.
Well, you see, that's the thing. I don't really have the opportunity to start off with a book and see how I feel. When I go to the U.S., I'm going to be there for a week and probably not going to be back in a couple of years. So I either got to buy like a whole series of books to last me throughout the couple of years.
I'll bring you a few. I got at least their hardcover, too, so...
Yeah, bring me the ones that give you allergies.
Because you can
video of those.
Plus, you can smuggle stuff back to Colombia in little compartments and stuff. It's a good
now,
idea.
Now, here's a question: with all these books people are mentioning, just tons and tons of them, how many books do you read in, let's say, a month, Scott?
Oh, me? Well, that's. I mean, I'm spotty at best. I would say it depends on the book. I probably. If I averaged it out,
how about a year?
Probably, because I do a lot of audiobooks too, so I'm going to count that. I probably do about one a month.
Okay.
About one a month.
How about you? Once every couple of years?
I don't know. No, I read several books a month. About two or three.
Yeah, and read them at the same time, right?
Yeah, I do.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah, I used to do that.
Yeah,
before I had kids.
You guys heard of Altered Carbon? That sound like anything you guys heard of?
No,
it's a recommendation by this guy. Let's listen to it real quick.
Hey, Scott in the game. Just wanted to call and give a recommendation as far as books for tonight's podcast. One of my favorite books as far as science fiction goes is Altered Carbon by Richard K. Morgan. Kind of blends the cyberpunk kind of feel that you get from the book Neuromancer. I hope that you guys, at least some of you guys, have read that.
Okay, so he's talking about Neuromancer again and cyberpunky stuff. You love that whole world.
Yeah, and I love those books too. I love William Gibson books, and if I had to recommend the book by William Gibson, I would recommend the book of his that is not actually cyberpunk, but is actually steampunk.
Really?
Which is called The Difference Engine. It is a crazy book. That is one
The Difference
crazy
Engine?
Book.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, the difference engine. It's but it's not actually cyberpunk. It's steampunk.
I actually have an idea, and I'm not going to say it on the podcast because I don't want to give this million-dollar idea away, but I have an idea for the next big author to be the next J.K. Rowling, and I'm not going to give it away.
Okay. So nanner nanner.
I'm keeping it to myself because I can't write, but hey, I'm keeping it to myself. Seamus called in. Let's hear what he said.
Hi, this is Seamus, and some of the books that I enjoy and enjoyed were the Golden Compass series, Ender's Game, Lord of the Rings series, Halo, especially the Ghost of Onyx and the ending there, The Gunslinger, and Otherland, even though I'm too lazy to finish it.
Otherland, never heard of it. Who writes that?
Otherland?
Otherland, yeah.
I've heard of that.
Underoos.
I don't know who writes that. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Thanks, Seamus. Man, that was one of his best calls ever. It wasn't like stocky or anything. I'm impressed.
My favorite thing to eat are Scotch Journal. And
Christopher actually wrote in and sent us an audio file, so we won't play that here. But we did get something called The Song of Ice and Fire. I thought this was, well, it was
good. Oh, I've read that one.
Is it good?
Yeah, it is, but I can't honestly recommend it, but not because it's not good, but because I had to read it in Spanish, and it's just not the same.
Yeah, that's true. So, oh, I have, by the way, sure, don't let me forget, after I play this call, don't let me forget to make a comment about the whole Spanish thing, whether it makes something good or bad, because I had a kind of a revelation. I'll tell you about that in a second. Here's his recommendation for Song of Fire and Ice, or Ice and Fire.
Hey, Scott, Brian, and Ho. I saw tonight that the topic is books. You talk about books that you geek out on. I don't know if you guys have read them. It's a fantasy series, so it should be geeky enough for you. It's The Song of Ice and Fire, George R.R. Martin. Absolutely freaking amazing. You guys got to check it out if you haven't done so, if that kind of stuff is if it's your bag. Anyway, great show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
If it's your bag. give us the synopsis, though. What's the genre? What is it?
I don't remember.
Ah, sweet. Well, good going.
I mean, I know I've read it. I know I've read it. I know it was good, but it's from a... Okay, you see, I once started a collection of books that are fantasy books, and it's basically 90-something books, and I did the whole collection, but they're all in Spanish. Mm. So I got like this whole collection of 97. It's about 97, 98 fantasy books I've got there to read, and it's got this incredible... selection. I mean, I've got the whole Deathgate cycle, which is really good if you haven't read it, the Deathgate cycle, and by Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman.
Yeah,
you know, the people from Dragonlance.
Yeah. No, it's familiar to me. I've heard it before.
Yeah, that is a really good series of book, and it's just one example of the type of series that is in there, but they're all in Spanish. So I have tried my best to read this whole series of books, this collection, but try as I might, I just can't manage to read this stuff in Spanish.
It's not that you don't like Spanish, it's that you don't like original work being translated to Spanish.
No, actually it's that I don't like Spanish. No, but there's a reason.
All right.
See, okay, it might be difficult for you to understand, you know, due to the fact that you're not very bright and you don't speak Spanish.
Screw you. Just kidding. It's true. I don't speak Spanish.
No. But seriously. I mean, when you speak both languages, you start to notice that, you know, stuff like action and drama and adventure and all that kind of stuff, it just doesn't sound right in Spanish.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Really? So what does sound right?
Well,
in Spanish?
That's what I was going to tell you guys. When I told you, not let me forget. Let me tell you.
What sounds right in Spanish?
Let me tell you what sounds right in Spanish. I thought that... Pan's Labyrinth sounded really good in Spanish. In fact, I was glad when that thing was over. I was glad I was watching subtitled Spanish. There's something about that. Now, of course, since I don't understand Spanish and I don't know what the original words mean, I'm just seeing the translation, which I thought was really good. Maybe it still is poopy in Spanish, but that's the first foreign language film that I really, really enjoyed and had no problem with. I really liked it. And I thought the dialogue was awesome. So anyway, since you're typing, let's move on.
The subject bores me. I will type now.
I will now type. Mitch. Mitch called in. Who's that? Oh, no. Jordy. Sorry. Gordy? Anyway, something about the moon. Here it is.
Hey, Scott, Brian, and Noah. This is Gordy calling about one of my favorite older sci-fi books, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Robert Heinlein. If you haven't read it, you should definitely check it out. looking forward to the show.
Oh, it's the harsh.
It's the harsh mistress one again. I already mentioned that one. I forgot. Magic the Gathering books, I guess, are okay according to Mitch. This again is another one of these license issues I may not enjoy. But
you know, I've actually read a Magic the Gathering book.
How was it?
It was called Arena, and I read it out of pure and simple boredom. This was several years ago, and it actually turned out incredibly good.
Well, he seems to agree with
I wouldn't
you.
Mind reading more of those books.
Here's what he says.
Hey, ELR, this is Mitch from Better Than Dead, which you can find at trickwaffle.com. Read your topic, and I heard it was all about books. I have to say, I'm not much of an avid reader, but I have to say that the Magic the Gathering novels, by far, are some of the best fantasy novels I have ever read. Anyway, I just wanted to call, leave my thoughts, enjoy the show, keep it great work. And see ya.
All right, cool. So he agrees. He says they're good.
Yeah.
That surprises me because it's a card game, damn it. I mean, seriously, it's like...
Yeah, no, it really surprised me a lot, too. I got a lot of good ideas from that book.
What'd you say, Brian?
I don't know anything about it besides it's a card game.
Yeah.
That's to the extent of my knowledge of Magic the Gathering.
Mitch may as well call in and said, go read the Pokemon books. They're really good.
Exactly. I don't know.
I'll bet that there's Pokemon books.
I'm sure there are. Well, I know there's Yu-Gi-Oh books, and that's just stupid. So I say this
being
completely hooked to Pokemon Pearl on my DS right now. That's sad, I know. all right, that's basically all the calls. You guys have any other recommendations that you want to make that you're reading or have read? Oh, let's start with you.
Okay, let's start with me. Well, recommendations that they've already made. The Dune series is my favorite series of all time. I would recommend Dune anytime, any place. It's a total head trip. Of course, Harry Potter is another one of my favorite books. Lord of the Rings.
Continue.
I recommend most books by William Gibson. They're a lot of fun. A little bit of heavy reading, though, the William Gibson books, but it's still a good book.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books of all time would have to be The Neverending Story.
Story.
Which, if you saw the movie, try to forget it completely.
All right.
No, really, really. It's one of those books that you read the book and you hate the movie. It just works that way.
Yeah.
If the movie
was made today, I mean, let's face it, the special effects back when they made that movie wasn't really there for the creativity of that book.
Yeah.
I wonder how it would be if it was reimagined today.
Well, we all love the Peter Jackson treatment of Lord of the Rings. We like the Harry Potter treatment. I have a feeling that if you get the right people involved, I just think people were stupid back then and they were trying to make money fast and nobody knew what they were doing. I think if you got the right person in charge today with the right feel for it and real passion for the work, I think you'd end up with something pretty good.
Well, you know, I really hated what would happen with these sort of stories like The Neverending Story, where they would make the first movie where they at least tried to follow the book, but then they would go ahead with the second and third movies, and those movies would have absolutely nothing to do with the earlier movie. I mean, they wouldn't even have nothing to do with the book.
Breaking Two.
Totally broke away from the book.
Bestseller.
I would recommend that book. Neverending Story. Another one of my personal favorites is The Perfume. Definitely read it. If you're not willing to read it, at least watch the movie. The movie's pretty good.
Oh, it's about that dude that hunts down serial killers. Or no.
No, the serial killer that hunts down women for the smell.
By smell of the perfume, that's right.
Yeah, it's one of the best books I've ever read. So
the Dexter books are good too, by the way, if you're interested in serial killer stuff. That's pretty good stuff.
So I would recommend those. And I'll read anything. And this is actually one of the things I read over and over and over and over and over. All of Lovecraft stories. I love Lovecraft. And I'll read all his stories again and again and again and again. And right now, I'm reading a book called Odd Thomas.
Odd Thomas. Who wrote that?
Yeah. It's an author called Dean Koontz.
Oh, Dean Koontz. Oh. Yeah, he's huge here. He's very popular here.
I had never heard about him before. The last time I was in the U.S., the friend I was staying with, he practically shoved the book into my suitcase. I mean, he said, like, you know, take this book. If you don't buy it, I'll buy it for you. He bought it for me because I said, why am I going to buy a book I've never heard of or anything like that? And, you know, I just started reading it this month, and it is a great book. I recommend it.
Yeah, a lot of people say if Stephen King died tomorrow or if Stephen King never existed, it would be up to Dean Koontz to write all of Stephen King's books. I mean, he's got a lot of respect for having similar style and stuff. They've even worked together on crap before. So you need to read The Dark Tower, dude. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I definitely do.
I love that book. Books, excuse me. Brian, any recommendations that we haven't talked about?
Well,
you're not reading an effing thing is your problem, but go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, that's right. That's one reason why I was so interested in doing this podcast, because I really wanted to hear what everybody was reading, because I really need to get back into reading.
Yeah.
Because last things I read was back when I was in college, and, you know, most of the classics and stuff that I was reading. You know, I can go back and talk about Sylvia Plath and that kind of stuff, but that would be kind of boring. On the topic of what y'all were talking about a few minutes ago, serial killer books,
yeah.
I'm telling you, if you're going to keep serial killer books in your house, don't leave them in your guest room for people when they come over and sleep. Because I went up to Brian Welch's house in Pennsylvania back a couple months ago,
yeah.
And I'd never met him before, and I've been working with him for about 6 years, and we stayed in his guest room, and I go to lay down, and I'm about to fall asleep, and I notice he's got like a whole row of serial killer books. And I'm thinking,
That's awesome, dude. I didn't know about Brian.
It took me a little bit longer to get to sleep. But then I told him the next day after it was daylight again, it wasn't so scary. I told him about the books and stuff, and he said, somebody gave them to him or something. But I just thought it was kind of odd.
When he says he means you by now.
You know, you really want to freak your guest out. Get, what do you call those things where you like
guide to cannibalism?
No. The things that you can put like the musical notes you're gonna play and stuff like that. What do you call those?
You
basically put an open book on it and it can stay that way standing, just for decorative purposes. Yeah. What is that called?
It's called a thing with the stuff. I don't know the name of that.
What are you talking about?
He's talking about the little stand that you lay
out. Yeah, get a copy of the Necronomicon. And put it in your living room like that with candles around it, lit candles. That'll freak anybody out.
Brilliant idea.
Get the collector's edition where it has the old leather cover with the teeth and everything on it.
Yeah, the leather cover that's supposed to be made of human skin.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I pick up sometimes when I'm in the library, or I'll go to Barnes & Noble or something, and I have a really hard time putting it down. And I don't know what this says about me, but I cannot... It's like a train wreck. I can't look away from like true crime novels. That stuff fascinates me.
True crime novels?
Yeah, it's more biographical. It's not like it's nonfiction, but it's like, what made a serial killer do what he did, and what were his crimes like, and what did he do exactly? And I'm repulsed by these people, but I'm fascinated by their story.
Because you can't imagine it. And it's like, well, how could someone do that?
Yeah, it's just fascinating.
So it's an interesting peek to look into that.
Yeah, and I love documentary style anything anyway, and those books kind of are in that style, so it kind of works for me. But I don't know if anyone else has that problem or that it's even a problem or not. But anyway. Well, Go ahead.
Now, I do read Stephen King. I read a lot of Stephen King books. So
I'm definitely going to have to get that started.
He is such a good writer.
Yeah, I love his books.
You know, what really surprises me is how prolific he is.
Yeah, I would actually say
he craps books.
If you could say if there's anybody in the last 40 years who at least comes close to what J.K. Rowling did in a very short amount of time, it would probably be Stephen King, because the guy is so spread far and wide, and his books have sold millions of copies, and he's probably the closest thing you have.
Stephen King is the author that has been. He is the author that has most books turned into movies in history.
Not all of them remotely good, but still. There's a couple. There's a couple. You got your Shawshank Redemption, and you got your Green Mile.
Green Mile,
yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
And the Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, Maximum Overdrive, dude. And Creepshow, don't forget that. But yeah, he's amazing. And the great thing about him is, speaking of all his other authors, he speaks, or when he talks about J.K. Rowling or the Potter series, he has such respect for that and talks about it all the time. And in fact, I don't want to give anything away, but books 6 or 7 of the Dark Tower series has a very interesting nod to the Harry Potter books.
Oh, neat.
You'll have to catch up and see what that is. But he speaks very highly of that stuff and is a big, huge fan. He also is a huge H.P. Lovecraft fan, just talks about him constantly. and how inspirational those books were.
But you gotta admire a guy that this apparently works so damn much.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
I mean, when does this guy write all these? It's like John Grisham. That guy also, I mean, that guy pees books.
Yeah. if you read Stephen King's book on writing, he talks about he writes every single day.
Yeah. Nude.
Does every
nude.
Day.
Yeah, nude.
Yeah.
Don't forget so the nude
says
part.
That says that's the trick to being successful like that is to write every
day,
single day.
Nude.
No matter what.
Nude. Yeah.
Christmas doesn't care. Nude. Writes on that day.
Nude.
Dude.
All right, perfect. Well, that's our books. That's our recommendations.
What about your books?
Oh, I've given you mine throughout. My big ones are Harry Potter, anything from Stephen King. Insomnia is a great book if you want to read some very different, cool stuff. And that is very Dark Tower connected. It's kind of a – it's not – I wouldn't say it's required reading for either. It's just connected to that universe, and it's really good. Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
I read that last year.
Totally connected. So if you haven't read The Dark Tower yet, none of those references will make sense. But the whole Crimson King thing and all that, that's ripped right out of the Dark Tower. That's a really good book. I really like Cell, even though I felt like it was a little popcorny. It was a lot of fun, kind of a big, good fun zombie read from Stephen King. I'm in the middle of reading, I stopped for Harry Potter, but I was in the middle of reading Salem's Lot again, his second published novel, which is one of my favorite novels of all time. Yep. If you like vampires, great book. And I'm going to recommend James Rollins, who I'm a recent convert to as far as being interested in. If you took a little bit of Tom Clancy and mushed it in with Dan Brown a little bit, you'd poop out this guy. So there's a lot of like cool historical stuff and code solving and all that kind of sort
are
of.
Are those Tom Clancy books any good?
Tom Clancy books are awesome. I'd probably say they're not exactly my style in terms of genre. It's kind of military porn in a way. It's just kind of a little too much.
Military porn.
I think it makes for great sort of action-y Michael Bay potential movie type stuff, but it's just, I don't know. It doesn't totally twist my nipple. I have the guy I work with.
Well, there you have it, people. You got to twist his nipples in order to get
it.
Gives
me. I give that book to Nipple Twist.
The guy I work for and with has every Tom Clancy book ever, and he waints pins and needles for anything Tom Clancy does. So I guess somebody, there are people that just love his stuff. And those are the ones I'd recommend. Can't think of any others right now. It's all good.
What about a different book? Like a book you read that doesn't actually fall into this whole geeky, context that we got going on here. What about a different book?
Well,
something you've read in your life that just doesn't quite fit in here.
Let me think.
And is good, and you would recommend.
Let me think about that.
Wizard of Oz. Well, that's kind of geeky, isn't it?
In a quasi kind of way, it is. I'd probably say. I don't know.
Books are geeky.
I guess I don't look at any. I guess I don't read anything like Jane Austen novels or any crap like that. That would definitely not be geeky. I know. I read again not too long ago, maybe a couple years ago. I reread To Kill a Mockingbird. That's a good book.
See, I love reading the classics.
Yeah, I like that stuff, and I like Dickens books. But those are even geeky in a way. I don't know. Some of them are. But yeah, there's. I'd be curious to see what some more listeners tack on. You know, they're going to call next week with some other stuff that we didn't bring up. Certainly, we've forgotten.
Forgot.
Oh, yes. Dude, the actors, our favorite B actors thing last week. Holy poo! Let them emails roll in about everybody we forgot. Sheesh. We'll play a few of those here at the end of the show. But that is the meaning. Or that is the end of the show. My gosh! Holy crap! We're done. Thanks everybody for being here. I'm no longer at the end of these shows going to read off numbers and contact stuff because that's all going to be canned and come at the end of the show just pre-recorded. That was a recommendation from one of the listeners, and gosh darn it, I agree. I will say this. If you want to learn more about this show, go to extraliferadio.com and you'll find out all that you need to know. Stay tuned for more contact information, more calls, and some cool stuff at the end of the show, including a great mashup by Sebastian. Big thanks to him. Thanks to Rob for our theme music. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Rico. Thanks to everyone who contributes to the show. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next week for show number 146. Hey, if you want to be part of the show, you can get a hold of us a few different ways. Call us on the Gob line. That's 801-471-0GOB. Or you can send us an email, extraliferadio@gmail.com. Visit myextralife.com for archives and everything else you'll ever need to know about anything ever.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
My vernacular itches. A URL so long, you'll type it twice. Christopher Reeve was on there before he kicked it, but my gosh, we sure are going on about birthdays.
I mean, really, what are the odds that you would call it Earth and we would call it Earth too?
Stuff is better with these guys in it. It's like chicken. Just makes everything better. I filled my bag, honey. Take me home.
That ain't right, Wyatt.
There were people with three boobs on it.
That and he kept trying to, you know, pull his pants down and show his butt.
Maybe there'll be a resurgence one day. Nothing but poo after poo after poo. They just keep making them and making them and making them. He's doing it in his secret movies with his trailers and stuff. Do you have to go up, down, up, down, AX, AX, down, up to finish him?
I'm just going to shut up.
You can do it. You can do it.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark with your 3-minute movie review. Today's movie, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
14 years ago, Voldemort had huge numbers at his command.
The evidence the Dark Lord's return is incontrovertible.
He won't last 2 seconds if he invades your mind.
I'm not weak!
Then prove it.
If Voldemort's building up an army, then I want to fight.
Okay, first a few thoughts on the Harry Potter franchise. I personally really like the books, although I haven't finished the series. I've read up through book 4, so this is the first movie I've seen where I didn't already read the book, so I can't really give you any indication of how well it does in passing on the book into the movie. But going on past experience, I've liked essentially the adaptation of each of the books to the movie, so I can't imagine this would be any different. This is the 5th book in the series and the 5th movie in the series, and a quick storyline for anyone who hasn't read the book. There's a big debate about whether Voldemort is really back. Harry learns that Sirius Black and his cohorts, along with Dumbledore, had created a secret clan called the Order of the Phoenix back in the day to oppose Voldemort and his cronies, and Ron and Hermione thrust Harry into a leadership role to create a similar organization with the Hogwarts students. At Hogwarts, things have gotten a bit murky as a new teacher takes over control from Dumbledore at the blessing of the Minister of Magic. Her communist-type style of control makes it hard for the students to do anything without the possibility of severe punishment. One observation, which may get me killed by many diehard fans, but I don't really think the kid actors do all that great of a job. And I'm talking about Harry, Ron, and Hermione, the actors who do them, plus the other kids around them. I just don't think they do a really good job. Which is kind of interesting since they are really pitted against the honor roll of great British adult actors with Maggie Smith, Gary Oldman, Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson, all these great heavyweights. So I'm not saying the kids are bad. I just don't think they really pull off the heavy lifting that they're required. As far as the story goes, this is one of the best movies of the group. It has a really good edge to it. The special effects are vastly improved over the last one and some of the other ones. And there finally is some really good magic battles near the end of this movie. I really like them. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie and highly recommend it to any Harry Potter fans. If you're not a Potter fan, you probably won't see it anyway, so I have no idea whether you'd like it or not. And you probably don't care anyway. That's it for this week. Again, if you're a sports fan, feel free to check out my sports history podcast at sportshistorytop10.com.
Hey, ELR listeners, this is Ben from the Music Fans Group on the Extra Life Social Network with another album pick of the week. This week's pick comes from the Boston-based trio The Slip and their new album Eisenhower. They've been around a few years and were largely known as an experimental jazz rock group prior to the release of this record. But this new one, released almost a year and a half after Guitar Hero won them a whole new group of fans, is a drastic positive shift for the band. It focuses very much on tight songwriting and production, whereas their old material kind of centered around free-form, almost jam band type of stuff. This whole album has a very metallic, sort of shiny feel to it,
And the songs are varied enough to keep your interest, but are held together by some really interesting modern-sounding production. And the songs are great, too. They're big, sprawling pop songs complemented by some really inventive guitar playing, which shows hints of the band's history as a freeform jazz trio. Now, I definitely recommend checking them out live if you can, or take a listen to a clip of the album's first song, Children of December, right now. Nobody hears it. I was lucky I was born in the summer of 1975. It was as hot as an oven. Families that were loving each other in November. By April we're planning on their new family member. Save one for the empirical boy with his empirical toys. The Hot Wheels, the Autobots, and the Decepticons. And everyone's waiting to see what he's worth. But he is invincible like a breeze on the earth. If you like what you hear, be sure to head over to iTunes or your local music store and pick up Eisenhower, the new album from The Slip. It's out now on Bar None Records, and I hope you enjoy.
Are you looking for a podcast about film?
No!
Oh, okay. Well, are you looking for a podcast that's funny? All right, do you want another podcast with a Colombian on it?
That would be great.
Then check out The Cut at www.thecutpodcast.com, or you can find us in iTunes.
Some things in this room don't react well to bullets.
Hey, Scotty boy. It's Daniel calling from Lakeland. Just wanted to call in and let you know. Just watching a movie the other night called Out of Time with Denzel Washington. And Dean Cain actually played in a movie that was better than 2 stars. It got 5, I heard. So, you know, just thought you'd like to know if you want to see something with Dean Cain, that's actually good. All right. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
Jill, here's a lockpick. It might be handy if you, the master of unlocking, take it with you.